1407 Gray Malkin Lane, Salem Center, Westchester, New York. Xavier's School for the Gifted.
It is good to have you home, Scott. I haven't seen either of you since the wedding.
I had to. I thought about it long and hard and realized that the team needs me. Now more than ever. And Maddie has agreed to come stay here for a little while.
Forced is more like it.
Oh, well. Look at you, Madeline. You must be almost ready to...
Pop? Yeah, I feel like it, too. Would have been nice to do that back home, though.
Maddie, we talked about that, and we decided...
No, Scott. You decided.
Can we not do this 5 minutes after getting here? And in front of Storm?
Fine.
Perhaps you two would like some time alone. Your old room has been prepared, Cyclops.
Thank you, my friend. Coming, Maddie?
Lead on, Scott, as always.
Is he here?
He? You mean Magneto? Yes, he is.
Honestly, if I could have got back here sooner, I would. I'm surprised he hasn't made his move yet.
Magneto has been quite the teacher, actually. He has lived up to his word.
I'll believe it when I see it. So where's everyone else?
Out back, in mid-game.
Mid-game of what?
Swing batter! Swing batter! Easy out, Kitty! You can do it!
Back of the Xavier grounds, a lively game of baseball is taking place. Kitty throws a fastball, and at the other end of the court, Pyotr Rasputin swings hard and misses.
Kid has a wicked fastball, and here I thought was Petey's trick.
Yeah, I thought you wanted to be a dancer, Catchson.
Who says I can't do both? Ready, Peter?
Duh. You shall not do that again, Kitty.
Hey, everyone! Cyclops is back! He and Madeline have just gone to freshen up, and they will be down to say hello.
Wonderful news!
Great.
You are not happy he's back, Herr Logan?
Sure, but the guy should have other priorities right now.
We need him. We need a leader.
Do we?
You going to swing or what, Kitty?
Okay. Watch out, Peter. Here it comes.
He moves, and in mid-swing transforms himself into his steel-skinned form. And with a mighty crack, the ball goes flying up high into the clear summer blue sky.
Oh, I think this one will reach orbit.
Hang loose, y'all. I'll get it.
Be careful, Rogue!
You worry too much, Night Elf. This high up, who's gonna see me?
Rogue flies high up into the sky, and right next to a passenger jet. A teenaged boy in it doing a double take from his window seat and watching on open-mouthed as Rogue grabs the ball, blows him a kiss, and then descends. After the game is done, Kitty makes her way across the garden and back to the house.
Ow. Oh, my shoulder's killing me. The sooner I give it a good hot soak, the better. I'm beat, too. Best to take a shortcut to my room.
Kitty phases through the wall, then heads upstairs and takes her shortcut through several more room walls towards her own. She expected them all to be vacant, given that all the X-Men and New Mutants were part of the game. But in one of the last rooms, she finds Sam Guthrie yelling at his computer.
Oh, no, you stupid machine! I worked for months on that term paper, and you just do that blue screen! You better have backed it up, you stupid...
Hey, Sam.
Kitty, you know, you should really use the door. I could have been changing or something.
Huh? I guess. We missed you at the game.
Yeah, sorry. I want to, but I need to work on my term paper. Professor Lynch is a hard-ass of a teacher. Been working on for weeks, and then this thing just goes and, well, look at it.
Let me see that. Luckily for you, you have an A-grade computer whiz here to help. I'm sure I can sort that thing out for you.
Sam turns a deep shade of red.
Thanks. Oh, thanks.
Much later, Kitty heads down the hall towards her room, finding Storm standing there.
Hey, Storm.
Kitty, your optometrist appointment has been scheduled.
Ew. Glasses? Just... ew.
You need them.
I know, Aurora, but I don't have to like it.
Do me a favor, please, kitten, and take your shower in the gym.
Why can't I just use my room? What's that? Who's yelling?
Scott and Madeline's guest room is next door to yours, and I think it would be best if you didn't eavesdrop.
A fight? A bad one. Oh, hell.
In the room.
I just don't see why we have to be here, Scott. I could give birth any day now, and you want me to do it here? In a place that gets attacked every other week?
The mansion doesn't get attacked that much. Not since Juggernaut, anyway.
And what if you are off leading the team on some mission and get yourself killed? Then what am I meant to do?
It's a risk, but they need me. They need a leader.
And what about Aurora?
Storm doesn't have any powers. She'll be a liability out there, no matter what Xavier said.
And what about my life? I have a career, a life of my own.
I thought that would all change when the baby came.
Excuse me? I have skills, buddy, and unlike you, mine can actually bring in a paying wage and support us. Can you say the same?
You don't understand. Not like...
Not like what?
Nothing. Forget it.
Like her, you mean? Like Jean? Is that it?
I didn't say that.
But you meant it.
Maddie, you agreed to this. Why wait till we're here to say all this now?
Because you never gave me a chance before you booked the plane tickets. What was I meant to do? Stay in Alaska by myself? Give birth to our son by myself?
No.
What are you afraid of, Scott? Of being normal? That they actually don't need you anymore?
All X-Men to the sub-basement at once.
Scott feels a chill run up his spine.
Magneto giving us orders. Wow, that's horrifying. I have to go. Will you be okay here?
Like I have a choice. Yes, go.
The X-Men all rush to the mission briefing room below, finding Magneto there. They stop, seeing footage of Sentinels attacking a group of mutants in central Manhattan, shown on various news networks.
Sentinels?
Who is controlling them this time?
Nobody knows. But those mutants won't last long. Only one of them appears to be powerful enough to repel the machines.
He points to one of the screens, showing a female in purple with equally lavender hair, using her powers to hold the Sentinels back from a group of defenseless mutants.
We must help her.
Indeed.
Magneto turns to look at them, his eyes stopping on Scott.
Cyclops, welcome home. Will you be joining us on this mission?
Why do you think I'm here, Magneto? And we don't need your help. X-Men, with me.
Scott, that is needlessly foolish. If those machines have even a fraction of metal within them, then Magneto is our best hope for a quick resolution.
Yeah, and even if there isn't, he's like super powerful. It'll be over in seconds.
Fine, but I'm watching you.
Really, Scott, there is no need for...
You don't get to call me that, not after what you've done.
And here I was, thinking you meant what you said at my trial, about giving me a chance to change.
I did. But no one said you should do it here.
Enough! Those mutants won't last. We have to go. Now!
Indeed. Everyone to the Blackbird. We can sort out the rest later.
Cyclops nods and follows the others to the changing room, throwing his gym bag down and unzipping it to reveal his costume. The male X-Men all changing around him, Cyclops places the metallic yellow visor on and exhales.
Okay, let's move out.
Everyone, get behind me! Now!
The lavender-haired young woman raises her arms, her eyes glowing purple as a translucent set of rings that look almost like a butterfly surround her eyes and upper head. Her powers sending a Sentinel's blast flying back, deflecting it.
I don't know how many more times I can do that. I'm getting tired. Won't hold out much longer.
She looks up, her eyes wide as three Sentinels surround the group, pinning them to a wall behind. They raise their glowing hands.
Mutants identified. Proceeding with extermination.
Behind her, a young girl cradles her mother for protection, as the mother returns it to shield her.
I won't be able to stop them all. This is it. Huh?
They look up as a black jet plane slows down up above and lands behind the buildings out of sight. The sentinels turn their attention to it, and moments later, two figures emerge up above the rooftops. The first is Rogue, Nightcrawler riding on her back, Magneto levitating beside them in a new version of his garb, sans helmet.
Ready? You got a target?
Yeah, I got a landing zone. Don't leave me alone down there.
You betcha. Good luck.
Kurt teleports, appearing down below in front of the mutants and their protector.
Greetings, my dear.
Who are you?
Don't be alarmed. We're here to help.
We?
She then peers across the street as Cyclops, Rachel, Wolverine, Colossus, and Storm come charging in. Storm raising a very advanced-looking pistol. Above, Magneto and Rogue descend.
New mutants ignitions detected. Danger! Mutants identified as the X-Men. Open fire!
Too late, boys!
Cyclops raises his hand to his visor, blasting a wide red beam from it and into one of the Sentinel's heads, destroying it. The rest of the body falling down through a building.
Well done. But let us not try to destroy half of New York in the process, Cyclops.
Yeah, fair point.
I have it.
Magneto raises his arms and uses the metal of the inner construction to halt the debris from the collapsing building, moving it away from two civilians below. They look up at him, grateful for their lives. Cyclops stops running in confusion.
Huh.
I did tell you, did I not?
Enough yammering! Focus on the tin cans!
Wolverine runs in, charging into one sentinel, avoiding several blasts, and then slashing into its leg, ripping it to shreds until it falls. Magneto using his powers to lower its descent. Besides him, Rogue flies down and into the last sentinel fist first, pounding it hard in the face. The machine's head buckles from the blow. Below, Colossus then football tackles the legs to send it falling. Rachel sending up a blast of the Phoenix Force to finish it off.
That's all, Dom.
Not all. More incoming.
Huh. Good. I was just getting warmed up.
You're enjoying this too much, comrade.
When else do I get to slash an opponent to shreds without holding back, Petey?
Point taken.
Get ready, X-Men. Here they come.
Four more sentinels lower from the sky with their feet jets, touching down as Storm fires her gun into one, a laser blast punching a hole in its side.
Whoa, where'd you get that thing?
Shi'ar tech. Kurt grabbed some from their armory when we last did a trip on their ship.
That furry little thief.
Focus, people.
Back at the mansion, Roberto da Costa is walking down the hall of the Xavier School.
You're too young, he says. We've taken on the Hellfire Club twice now, buddy. We can handle a few giant robots. Huh?
Roberto stops as he hears heavy panting and then a voice.
Help! Someone! Is anyone there?
Roberto runs into the guest room, his eyes growing wide as he sees Madeline on the floor, a puddle surrounding her and holding her belly.
Are you okay?
I'm in labor. Someone please call an ambulance and my husband.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay,
I heard yelling. What's... Holy crap!
She's in labor. I'll ring for the ambulance. You get down to the lower levels and get in touch with the X-Men.
But we aren't allowed down there!
Now!
Okay, yeah, fine.
Back in the city, the X-Men gather, having destroyed the last of the giant purple automatons.
You! I've heard of you. You're the X-Men.
That's us.
Wow, thank you for your help.
You seem to be doing pretty well by yourself. Held out until we got here. I'm Nightcrawler, by the way. But you can call me Kurt if you like.
Elizabeth Braddock, but everyone calls me Betsy.
A little old-fashioned?
My family is a little old-fashioned.
You are English?
Yes. I was visiting a friend at the Baxter Building when those things arrived. They started scanning the crowds and targeting people. People who they detected as mutants, I guess. I had to do something.
We should get off the streets. Whoever sent them will certainly know us. And one is dead, I'll bet.
Oh, how I enjoy being on Bigot's most wanted list.
He's right. Let's get back to the Blackbird. Do you have somewhere to go, Eliz?
Betsy.
Betsy turns, seeing the people she was protecting fleeing. The little girl smiling and waving back at her in thanks.
I'd better make sure that they get somewhere safe. See you around?
I hope so.
How should we contact you?
You can reach my brother through the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yes, he's a superhero himself. Captain Britain.
Wow. Okay, Zin. Bye.
Betsy smiles and runs off down the street after her charges.
Wow. Speaking of contacting people, I have 22 missed calls from, like, all of the New Mutants. Hang on.
Shadowcat dials the last number that called.
Hey, Alana, what's happening? Is everyone... Yeah, I know. This lot never take their phones on missions, and mine was on silent. Luckily, it phased with... What? When? 2 hours ago? Hang on.
Kitty lowers her phone and looks over to Cyclops.
Cyclops! Maddie is in labor, like, right now.
What?
Everyone, back to the jet, now!
Cyclops arrives at the hospital in less than an hour. But in that time, his wife has given birth to a baby boy, the doctor explaining that the fast labor was brought on by stress. Scott now stands in the hospital halls, looking down through glass into the nursery and at his newborn son.
Have you thought of a name?
Yes, we've named him after my dad.
Corsair.
Christopher.
Oh, yes, that makes more sense.
I missed it, Aurora. I know it was a fast delivery, but still, I missed it.
Yes, you did.
But you and the team needed me.
Scott, I do not wish for you to take this the wrong way, but we have some heavy hitters on our team now. Your presence made no difference. In fact, you froze when you saw Magneto save those people.
The team needs a leader.
They've had one. We have managed fine for a long time without you.
That was before you lost your powers.
Like Xavier said, that does not mean I lost my other skills. Leading being one of them.
Excuse me, sir. Your wife's awake and wants to see you.
Oh, thanks. Can we table this for now?
Of course. See you at home.
Yeah.
And Scott?
Yeah?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Storm watches him leave down the hall, a mixture of emotions on her face. She sadly now knows what she must do. A couple of days later, Cyclops and Maddie return to the Xavier Mansion. Plus one.
Oh, look at him. He's so cute.
Thank you, Kitty. But I think we both need to head upstairs for some rest.
Storm watches them go upstairs and waits an appropriate amount of time before following.
Cyclops, a word, please.
Sure, Storm. What is it?
A decision must be made. One of us must lead.
What? What are you saying? What do you propose?
A duel. You and I, Cyclops, alone in the danger room. Unless, of course, you would rather step aside.
Scott lowers his head.
No.
No other words are needed. Aurora and Scott head out from the room and down towards the danger room, leaving Maddie alone, cradling her new son. In the danger room, heart of the vast complex buried beneath the mansion, Magneto shepherds the new mutants through a training session. In the control room above, the newest recruit, Doug Ramsey, aka Cypher, a mutant who can control and talk to machines, watches on at the controls.
Excuse me, Cypher. Would you and the others mind terminating your session? Storm and I need the room.
Sure, Mr. Summers.
The new mutants are informed and begin to file out.
Query? Who knows, Warlock, and who cares? The X-Men are the senior team. They can pull rank and hog the facilities whenever they like.
Cyclops would not do so, Sunspot, without good reason.
Cypher, can you program us an appropriate environment, please?
Sure thing, Storm.
A single fall, Storm. Winner takes all. I'll keep my optic blasts on ultra-low power.
As you wish.
At the large windows overlooking the danger room, the X-Men and new mutants alike gather to watch the events unfold, word traveling fast.
A duel, Ileana. Cyclops versus Storm.
This is crazy.
Had to happen. My money's on the lady. Any takers?
A duel for dominance between the two primates. This will be most interesting.
Programs loaded and running.
Around them, the metal walls of the danger room change into that of a ruined city.
Wow, this is the danger room? I heard the Shi'ar upgrades were good. Heck, they started them when I still led the team. And I know it's really a mix of 3D holograms and props, but it seems so lifelike. Their sight, sound, even smells. The deception is perfect.
Splendid, Douglas. Cyclops' optic blasts are his advantage. This environment you created is mine. We are evenly matched.
I'll make this short and sweet, Storm.
Storm quickly leaps out of the way to avoid the blast.
You are certainly welcome to try, my friend.
And then leaps up into a high-rise part of the rubble to avoid him further.
She's so fast and as agile as a cat. The way she's moving, using every scrap of cover. I can't get a shot.
He advances, but Storm waits behind a corner, in darkest shadows, for him to approach, unbuckling her belt.
Huh?
Whoa!
She then makes her move, emerging low and tying his feet up with the belt, then moves quickly to use Scott's own arm to block his visor. He falls back and uses his legs to monkey flip her back overhead and behind him. But before he can rise and blast, Storm runs and dodges to avoid them, retreating back into the shadows. Above.
He shouldn't have been nailed in the first place.
No secret who you're rooting for.
Aurora can do the job. Scotty can't. Not anymore. His head may be in it, but not his heart. That's blunting his instincts, throwing off his timing. His mistakes are only little ones, but sooner or later, they'll cost him.
Below, Cyclops roams the dark corners of the ruined city.
Why doesn't Madeline understand? I have a duty, but to her too. Suppose she's right. Am I afraid of being normal? Xavier was always more of a father to me than Corsair ever was. Shouldn't a son naturally want to take his father's place? Huh? Just debris. Got lucky. Head in the game, Summers.
But as he ponders this, Storm drops down from behind him and above. And in their room, Madeline hangs up the phone.
Well, I did it. The flight is booked for two and one baby. This time tomorrow, you and me are going home. I just hope Daddy comes with us. Yeah, I guess I do want him to lose. Except losing will break his heart. Why can't it be because he wants to, instead of because he has no other choice? But none of this has any meaning to you, does it, sweet pea? So long as you're fed and warm and loved, you're happy. We should all be so lucky. Huh, the sky was perfectly clear a minute ago. Where'd this storm come from?
Storm leaps. Cyclops blasts. He misses. She then leaps again and grabs something from his face.
My visor!
Got it!
Cyclops reacts, closing and covering his eyes in a panic.
That wasn't fair! Give it back! You know I'll never blast you with my naked eyes!
Kill me. I know. And we never stated any rules. You are helpless, Cyclops. Unless you wish to destroy me and this entire room, our duel is over.
Fine.
Storm nods and walks forward, handing the visor back to him. Scott puts it back on and shakes her hand.
The best mutant won, Storm. The best ex-woman. Congratulations and good luck.
And with that, Scott heads for the exit.
I don't believe it, but it happened. I lost. And now I have to learn to live with it. And the fact that there's no place for me here anymore. I just hope my other family are still there waiting for me.
The next morning, as Scott, Maddie, and Christopher are set to depart, Magneto approaches the young family.
Cyclops, could we speak in my office before you depart?
Xavier's office, you mean? I suppose so.
He turns back to his wife.
This won't take long.
He follows Magneto into the office, Eric closing the door behind him.
Cyclops, Scott, I know you will never trust me. How can you, after all that I have done?
You tried to kill me at least three times.
Yes. Well, I'm not that man anymore.
And yet, you keep your old helmet on your desk, as though a nostalgic reminder of the good old days.
It is symbolic that those days are over. I will uphold my promise to Charles. I will run this school. And I am sad that you will not be part of it.
This isn't the place I knew. The people I loved here are all but gone. And those that remain no longer want me here. As far as I'm concerned, as long as you're here, Magneto, I won't be.
I see. Well, I wish you safe travels and a happy life, Scott Summers.
And if you hurt these kids, I'll come for you.
As amusing as that would be, I gave Xavier my word. And that is not something I break.
Goodbye, Magneto.
With one final glare, Scott departs. Perhaps for the final time. That night, Rachel Gray's thoughts are also on family as she visits the home of Dr. Gray and his wife. Visited tonight by a granddaughter they do not even know exists. She sighs and walks over to their bedside table as they sleep, picking up a picture of Jean.
I hope you would be proud of me, Mom, taking up your mantle as the Phoenix. Cyclops hates it. He barely can bring himself to look at me. And now he has a new child, an older brother I never had. This timeline is so broken and yet so much better. Except that you're not in it.
She exhales again and returns the picture before leaving. Jamaica Bay, New York. A submarine moves through the darkness, its spotlight searching the sea floor.
Yep. We found it all right, Control. The signal seems to be coming from within.
The spotlights now shine upon the remains of the X-Men's first Blackbird jet. Within it glows an orange light.
We have a glowing object of some kind. It seems to be the source of the radiation.
Proceed with caution.
The sub moves in, hovering over the debris. Its spotlights highlighting an object. A cocoon of some kind. The source of the orange glow.
I'm getting a picture on the heat scanner. It looks like a woman.
On their screens is the white and orange glowing silhouette of a picture-perfect female figure with long glowing hair.
Whoever she is, she's alive.
And in a dark corner of New York City,
Scott Summers and his bride have left the Xavier Institute. Shall we pursue?
No, no. I will deal with Cyclops soon enough. The time has come for us to proceed with the purge.
I ain't no janitor.
You are what I pay you to be. And right now, that is to be simply yourself. A killer. Those blights have tainted the mutant gene pool long enough. They cannot be allowed to mix and breed with the strong. Survival of the fittest. Well, bang up job those sentinels you stole did. Which is why we need to strike before the X-Men can gather their full strength. You leave tomorrow night. Kill them. Kill them all.
And if the X-Men show up?
No mercy.
X-Men The Audio Drama, Season 4, Episode 1, The Duel. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Corey LaVia as Wolverine, Joey Solis as Colossus, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Jennifer Simmons as Kitty Pryde, Tywin Locke as Rogue, Daniel Earle as Magneto, Catherine Black as Rachel Gray Summers, Sarah Nightingale as Psylocke, Oscar Stavemeyer as Sunspot, Nick Erickson as Cannonball, Joey Solis also as Warlock, Zach Adamson as Cypher, Victoria Savage as Madeline Pryor, Oscar Stavemeyer also as Mr. Sinister, Shane Cochran as Sabretooth, Ian Schaefer as Scalp Hunter, and Jesus Gonzalez as the sub-operator. Also with Carl Dutton as the voice of the Sentinels and additional voices. Main theme composed by Silver Sage, based on the original by Juan Masterman, with music by Silver Sage, Declan Gilgallon, and David Fursalian. Sound effects sourced from freesound.org and pond5.com. Written and edited by Carl Dutton, based on Uncanny X-Men 201 and the stories by Chris Claremont. X-Men created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. X-Men is copyright of Marvel Entertainment and Disney. This is a FanWorks production and non-profit with no infringement intended. And shout out to our patrons over at patreon.com/scytheraudio. The Cellcast, Clay Murdoch, Daniel Roberts, Jessica D, Joshua Gullinson, Valiant Shadow, Adam Lowry, Alex Brock, Jonathan Valentin, Melissa Lauren, Professor Chris G, Richard Jones, Shane O'Brien, Tony Fielding, Alicia Simeld, Andy May, Dylan Keith, Hurl3Y13 Tank, Jessica Thayer, Kian Washington, Matthew Birdsey, Nathan Sedano, Rizwan Merchant, RLT Sandwich, Stefan Conger, Eric Lawson, Kim Good, Rebecca Olivia, Sneer Goldfeld, Susan Foster, Alberto Quiroga, Brayden Coe, Cameron Tabor, Edwin Gonzalez, Frank Brunker, Nathan Godinsky, Sean Handorf, Stefan Mastriano, Nathan Marchand, The Rev, Tim Blevins, Bruce, Dorian Gray, Loxley Hooker, Rob Brook, Robert Rose, Ryan O'Toole, Zach Adamson, and our top tier patron, Mike Welder.